Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It's Monday. It's Monday, indicating that April is already half over. And Hank Vogler checking in from North Spring Valley, Nevada. That's the heart of White Pine County.
Well, I I'm in Ogden, Utah, paying my taxes in cash and up front, like we all should. Yeah, yep. No.
You didn't steal the golden spike and cash in on it, right?
No, but I sold some beer cans, aluminum beer cans, and they're auditing me to get the money from that. So, yeah.
I saw a headline yesterday that brought back some memories. It was apparently 10 years ago this week that the Bundy standoff began, and the headline was obviously 10 years ago this week, Bundy firearm standoff happens, cows still grazing.
Wow. Yep. That's a waste of your tax dollars. You know, the Bundys are still, my understanding is, are still grazing, other than the fact that the government went in and tore out all their water improvements that helped wildlife and everything else. They've done nothing. Yeah. Other than they spent millions of dollars and people died. It's our government is becoming so dysfunctional. It's really scary.
Yeah, we're there now.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that's been 10 years though, because man, yeah. I just remember everything about it.
Yeah. Well, and I do too. I went to Pendleton, Oregon from downtown White Pine County, Nevada, to testify for the Hammonds, because I was there the day that supposedly all the trouble started with them. And that's when the poison in my body shut off my ability to walk. So I thought I had the flu, but I had a little more than that. So yeah, it's a memorable time for me also, besides the fact that Hammonds have been, family's been my friends for years and years and years and years. Yeah. And we're being persecuted probably for something that I did. And that was convince him that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had abandoned the water right. And he had the right and could prove use of the water, and went and surveyed a ditch and moved the water. And then he prevailed in court. Yes, they had abandoned. And yes, the water didn't run interstate. There was no federal controlling authority. They had to comply with state rules and regulations, and they attacked him every minute from then on. Yep. Yeah. Talk about the Bundys. I caused that problem. Part of it. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with where they run their cows down in Southern Nevada, but I darn sure was the instigator of getting poor old Dwight. And Dwight was a truck driver. The kids and Susie ran the ranch. He was trying to make ends meet and feed the kids by driving truck. I mean, talk about the big guys picking on the little guys. Yeah, I remember that period of time very well. Thank you.
Yeah, it occupied a lot of the hours of the day for me back then. And then when we rolled into January of 2016, right? Or was it 17? When we went to Malheur. Hey, I got a phone call from Lee Strumsfer yesterday. His son is near Adrian on a ranch branding this week. How about that? A friend of mine from Illinois has a son branding in Adrian, Oregon.
Yeah, right on the Idaho border. My childhood friend, Arnold Trofe, lives there. Yeah. No, it's a small world. And the world that's changing. Wokey dokey. I keep seeing this deal, BCE and CE. So I looked it up this morning. BCE used to be before Christ. Now it's before Common Era. And CE no longer stands for at the time of Christ.
AD?
AD, it's now CE for Common Era.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they were trying to make a change.
Well, that's what I love history, and I was reading about when the last Roman Empire fell. And the last Roman Empire, Eastern Roman Empire, actually fell just before Columbus went to the Americas. But it was in the East, not in the West, the Roman Empire, the last of it. It was based in Constantinople. And I kept seeing this BCE and CE and BC. So I looked that up. Yep. That's to be inclusive for the non-Christian folks. So if you have any confusion, just get in line. what does it matter?
Yeah, it kind of ties in with cutting an hour off the end of the day, putting on the beginning of the day, and thinking it got more day.
Yeah, same stuff, same stuff. Yeah. Everybody's going to feel good, but nobody understands anything. You know, you got to get out the old Encyclopedia Britannica. Of course, it wouldn't even be in the Encyclopedia Britannica because they haven't produced those for years and years now, have they?
They're still active online, though. I'm sure it's...
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they would be, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you coming? I understand you got the aviation and flu, influenza. Is that a fact?
No, I feel great.
Okay. So it hasn't affected you? You haven't had the urge to eat with your nose and your face, grain and stuts? Want to get an urge to try and lay an egg? Why are they trying to make such a big deal out about it?
They're trying to make it the next COVID, and every bit of what happened with H5N1 and H7N9 was all manufactured through gain of function, and they created this ability for it to jump species. I'm wondering now the mutations and all the jumping from one species to the next, if that all isn't all just done in a lab where they create the opportunity to reintroduce it in a new way.
Yeah, well, and I've heard that some of the undocumented folks, the new Democrats, have been around and given tuberculosis to cows.
That's how it goes both ways. Absolutely. Yeah, it hasn't.
So, yeah. I got one for you, and then I'll leave you alone. You can tell me what we're supposed to talk about. I got a telephone call from a guy that worked for me 20 years ago. And very good gentleman. In fact, I helped him get his green card. I helped him move up to the next step as a legal immigrant. And he called me and wanted to know, and he's had a good job. I won't tell you where. Don't want to get him in trouble. He's had a good job. He's brought his family up. They bought a house. They bought a car. They're trying to live the American dream. And he says, can I have my job back? Mm. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I thought everything was going your way. And he said, well, not anymore. I said, what happened? And he said, go to Home Depot. There's probably 200 people there every morning, all mojados, wetbacks, wanting jobs. And he was laid off because of California's new $20 an hour minimum wage or whatever it is. And they laid him off. And now the guy that took his job, they didn't eliminate his job. The guy that took his job is working for $9. How do you like that?
So I had an interesting discussion last night with somebody that was in the know about the California situation. They are moving to a tremendous amount of artificial intelligence, doing a lot of what the laborers in the fast food restaurants were doing. Yep. But they're also moving to where the people who take your order when you drive through are in India. What do you suppose they're paying the people of India to work at these fast food restaurants? $2 an hour?
$1.298.
Yeah, I know it doesn't do a lot of good to throw a fit about artificial intelligence. That's going to be the death of us all, Hank Bogler.
Well,
Okay. Well, we'll come back with the well right after this, and we'll get back with more Rural Route. Now let's talk about certified Piedmontese. You want a guaranteed supply of beef that comes from the Great Plains cattlemen, your neighbors. You want to guarantee that this is going to be the most tender beef you've ever eaten. Then certified Piedmontese will be the path you choose to take. CPBeef.com. CP, short for Certified Piedmontese Beef.com. How do I know all of those things? Well, because we do not import from anybody. All of the cattle come through our system, and we test, verify genetically every single calf is sired by and possesses the myostatin gene. It's just a natural gene that's present that increases muscle growth and increases tenderness. Details in order. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to the door. CPBeef.com. Welcome back, Rural Route, Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler checking in. I had to cut him off just as he was saying, well, and we're talking about artificial intelligence destroying mankind.
Well, you got to have an opportunity for people to repair them. I mean, any machine is like any human. They do make mistakes, or they do need lubricated, or they need repaired. So there will be, I guess, if they're not nefarious type people interjecting their own agenda into the artificial intelligence, they will have to repair it. So there'll be those people. But yeah, the dairies are adopting milking machines that the cows can milk at their leisure, go in and out of the parlor. When they get their head in the stanchion, it reads their ear tag, dumps the exact amount of grain for that particular animal. It's caused more productivity. Trent, it's just like me. My largest by twice now is labor. They continually raise the labor. But the end product, the animals that get in the truck, weigh pretty close to the same thing, depending on the weather. Can't do anything about that. And the same number, depending on the focus of the people that are taking care of them. But they get on the bus. And we're competing against people in Australia and New Zealand that run under wire. The government helps them with effective predator control, all of these things. The competitiveness is competitiveness, but eventually you keep going back for the goose that laid the golden egg. You can't cut the goose open and expect to get more eggs. They have to be produced. And that's the story of it all. And you have to be able to, the number of animals that you produce is X amount, whether you're raising chickens, hogs, or what. But if somebody artificially comes in and says, well, you're a dang slave driver because why you hire people that are on the low end of the pay scale. Well, okay. They got there by one of two ways. They either immigrated here legally, or for some reason they did not aspire to be the head of General Motors. And so there they are. Some of them are quite content, or like my friend that came from Peru, worked for me for four contracts, and I spent the money and the time to help him get his papers because that was his bonus for what he gave to me, and that was loyalty and good, honest work. So yeah, that's been going on. What do you think Henry Ford did? Henry Ford had them lined up outside. They had riots because he did give them a higher wage, but they were more productive. It all is based on production.
So I've long been criticized because, you know, the movement in this country to do agritourism. And I don't think that agritourism is a non-factor, but when you sit down and somebody would come to you at the White Pine County Commission, and I was just part of a county commission forum where I moderated it in a county that has a tremendous amount of tourism that comes to it with whitewater rafting and things like that. Well, tubing is not whitewater rafting in Nebraska, but anyway, there's so many people that think that we can sustain a livelihood and a county base by tourism or agritourism. Who would ever guess that you could go out into the middle of a cornfield and create a maze, destroy part of your crop to get people to come through there and get lost in your cornfield. Now, I don't think poorly of anybody that does that and can make that work. But Hank, at the end of the day, if you don't do what you just described and produce something that people don't need tourism. They don't need a vacation. They need food. They need fiber. They need fuel. And if you don't continue to produce and generate something that the land naturally gives us and make it readily available to people, you're going to cease to exist. So agritourism is a small supplement to what it is that we need to do in this country in the business of agriculture and farming.
Well, and there's another little thing out there that predated the agritourism, and that was hunting. How many people in Nebraska do they still follow the pheasants and the stuff in the fall and the white-tailed deer hunting and things like that, that brings in revenue to the counties, to the states, to everybody? Is that still a real popular thing, or is it kind of gone away? So, because it has out here, Nevada Department. What? Go ahead.
It's still a popular thing, and depending on where you're at in Nebraska, we don't have the pheasant populations. But in the fall, if you go to the Dakotas, Minnesota, Montana, eastern Montana, you see orange everywhere, and I'm inspired by that orange. But I will tell you that Saturday morning, I'm driving through downtown Loup City, Nebraska, and there's a group of four pickups that stay at this one place that we'll call it a bed and breakfast, for lack of a better term. And these guys are all in camo, and they're standing behind a wall, and they had two big old toms that they were taking a picture of, that they clearly had been out in the morning, early morning, and got on a hunt. So, yeah, that still happens. Depending on where you're at, what the species is, it's still a big deal everywhere. But yeah, that's still the land giving you something.
Right.
That's part of production. And then that money for the license and everything else should go into promoting the ecosystem and the habitat where these animals are. I'm not convinced that's the case.
Well, no. Now, it out here, it has become a territorial thing. They want to put wild sheep on every mountain. And not unlike the high pathogen avian influenza, because there's a commonality of disease, a disease that puts animals out of their misery, is in the domestic species as well as the wild species. And they're trying to take over all the mountain ranges out here.
Mm-hmm.
People that have been fed this bull are putting out millions of dollars to buy private land and take it out of productivity to supposedly enhance the wildlife. And it doesn't happen. And then on top of that, they have so well managed the deer herds out here that now the new phrase is, if you want to go deer hunting in the state of Nevada, BYOD. Bring your own deer.
That's not even funny. I got to tell you, Nebraska has been a great deer state, but our deer population last year was just decimated with, I guess, blue tongue.
We have blue tongue out here. They used to blame that on the domestic sheep too. And lo and behold, they had to give it up because the culicoid gnat that passes it around, comes over the mountains from California. It's pretty common. And that gnat is blown over here in the wind in the summertime. And I've had my rams come down with it. I've had sheep come down with it. And they kind of get over it. Some of them don't make it. You give them a shot. But I take care of my stuff. They don't take care of their stuff. When I was on the game commission board for the state, I got them to start buying selenium salt to feed to the wildlife. That helps a lot on reproduction and disease resistance, lots of things. But they don't want to learn. They've got their job. Their check comes in the mail every 2 weeks. By the way, yours truly got charged. Got accused of setting a fire.
You did?
I'm in Las Vegas with taking my wife to the doctor.
How'd that work out?
I don't know. Some people were clearing a ditch. And, of course, being as I have successfully burned many a private piece of land and improved it, that makes me the bad guy because I called the BLM and told them I was going to do it. And I've cleaned up a lot of trash that way on private land. So therefore, see, there's a dirty little secret out here. If a fire is man-caused, they can bring in those borate bombers at $120,000 a pop. They can bring in hundreds and hundreds of troops and play with the fire for weeks and weeks and make pickup payments. You know, as the gentleman told me, black trees make green pockets. Providing it is man-caused. If it's natural, in some instances, they let it burn. So, beans, I have had successful burns. I am guilty of anything that happens within 500 miles. And a friend of mine was called last night and said, Vogler set fire. And my friend said, yeah, how'd he do that? He's in Las Vegas. Phone call ended. So, yeah. Wow.
So you are suspect simply because you're from Burns, Oregon?
Possibly.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with second half of Rural Route just ahead. Now let's talk about innovation and weed control. I'm talking about the Apache sprayers and your service provider, Simpson Farm Enterprises, Hayes, Kansas. Have fantastic service all the way down into Texas, into Colorado, up into Nebraska. Of course, there's a store in Grand Island. SimpsonFarm.com. Full details about it's time to think about controlling pests. SimpsonFarm.com, the Apache sprayers.
Welcome back.
Rural Route. Those folks are going to have to keep better track of you and accuse you of things when you're actually in the county instead of, you know, 500 miles away.
That'd be good. Yeah, Burns, Oregon was named after Robert Burns, a Scottish poet, not because it burns.
Okay, so we glazed over something that I want to go back to because a longtime friend of mine called me last week and he recently took a boat trip down the Mississippi River with a guide. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a public hearing in Broken Bow, Nebraska. Is about a transmission line. And the transmission line is completely being controlled now by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. My friend who took the boat ride down the Mississippi River, the tour guide was talking about it used to be the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers called all the shots on the Mississippi River. And whether you agree with them or disagree with them, there was some degree of engineering that was taking place. Now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, this are his words, not mine. Now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife completely control the Mississippi River and engineering, which means there is none. And I'll bet you have example after example where the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is calling the shots because you've already given us one. It appears to me that U.S. Fish and Wildlife has assumed far too much power to benefit the human population.
Well, it all boils down to Endangered Species Act and all these things that our lovely and talented Congress has passed. You know, the whole thing of it is, to me, there is a way to right the ship, and that is today. Today is so-called tax day, April 15th. All right. If every American had to pay his taxes in cash on April 15th and his receipt for paying his taxes was a ballot and vote on this very day for all the government offices. You don't think there wouldn't be some fiscal responsibility? It's not an accident that the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November is about as far away from November or April 15th. Yeah. And people are jerked straight on April 15th, even if they pay quarterly taxes or whatever. It is a day that is emblazoned into everybody's brain. We're still paying for these privileges to pay taxes all the way into July now, I think it is, before we actually have our are the money's coming back to us, the rest of it's taxed. So yeah, those are the things. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and can, you know, they want their territory, they want their contribution to the world, so they continue to want to grow. And the Endangered Species Act is their vehicle. They get control. I watched them take a beautiful Pacific Flyway reservation refuge years and years and years ago and turn it into a toilet, turn it into nothing, void of wildlife. But they had it in their brain and still do that if man does it, especially those evil devils from Antarctica, if they do it, it's wrong. That Mother Nature has never taken care of itself ever since the first caveman picked up a rock and hit a rabbit with it. That changed the whole world from then on. Whatever. I mean, this guilt trip because we have prospered is nuts, and we cannot take these islands of nothing and turn them into more nothing. And that, yeah. And yeah, it's water. So we got to, why there's a fish in there, and that fish might have one extra gill or one extra fin or a different color. We have to protect it because evil people are using the Mississippi River to haul food to the ports, to the cities, to transportate and make us prosperous. Oh gosh, we can't have that. I'm telling you, you've got to get the little woman signed up for my how to chew hides and how to live in a cave. I mean, that's what they want. They want population control. They want the America to get so tough that suddenly the population, we have emigration, not immigration. Yep, that's what they want. And they're sold on. They're drunk on the power, and they've got the power because all you got to say is, what? You want dirty air? You want dirty water? You want poison? How can you be that way? Why, we've got to protect the environment. They're not protecting the environment. They're protecting their paychecks.
So back to the little woman on the hide chewing classes. Are those virtual, or do you need to show up in White Pine County, Nevada?
Well, you better not. There might be one or two of them getting angry at me. You know, we'll have to have this virtual, you know.
You've never had that happen before.
8 or 9 of my wives kind of got mad that way one time or twice.
Oh, my goodness. But, I mean, I got to do a little deeper dive just to get some numbers on all that. I just know, by piecing all these things together, U.S. Fish and Wildlife needs much more attention than they're currently getting. Because, well, just look at this whole situation. I watched it over the weekend. I don't know why I got into the news feed. Well, because I pay attention to these things. And the Klamath River, these dams are going to come down because the native people, they need the salmon. The salmon have survived for 100 years with these dams here. And all of a sudden now they can't survive unless we take the dams down. And then they also included in this, the dams are so inconsequential in their electricity generation that they just don't contribute to the electric supply anymore. What? What do you mean?
Pretty clean energy.
Yeah, and you ought to see, I mean, this isn't like the Mississippi River. If you look at the Klamath River, I mean, there's a bit of fall in that thing.
Well, and all the salmon are dying because they raised them in hatcheries.
I know, I saw.
And then dumped them out in the river, and they don't know whether to fish or cut bait. A little play on words there. But so the salmon are dying because they think they're going back to spawn, but they want to go back and spawn at the hatchery, and the hatchery's not, I mean... And the salmon before, didn't they have fish ladders around those dams?
Yeah, they did. They did.
I'll be darned.
All you need to know is that there are still salmon in the Klamath River 100 years after they put the dams there.
Yeah.
If this was dangerous to the population, they'd be gone.
Right. So evidently these are salmon can't swim. They can't swim in the fish ladder.
Yeah, apparently. I thought they swim upstream anyway.
Well, yeah, but they're looking for the hatchery that they were born, and they don't know where to go, and they just
And furthermore, this isn't being critical. It's just being honest, because I lived on a Rosebud Reservation for 5 years. How many of the Native American Indians do you think are down there fishing the river?
Well, on the Columbia, they were mad at them because they could gill net them and do all kinds of difference because they had tribal rights and taken away from the sports fishermen. And then the sea lions showed up in the fish ladders and thrill killed. They just killed salmon just as fast as they come by. Didn't even bother to eat them. But nobody went out and whacked a couple of sea lions in the head to get them out of the fish ladders. They just let them do it because
that's nature.
Nature.
And you, Hank Vogler, are not part of nature. You're a blight on nature.
when they used to have the different falls in the river where the Indians protected and fished and sold fish to other Indian tribes and traded all these kind of things, when they put in those rivers or dams, those fish kind of nests, well, areas where they could catch them real easy or easier, were gone. Okay. But that doesn't, I mean, it's just everything about it. There's no common sense to it at all.
None.
And some of the Indian tribes wanted to go back to killing whales. And of course, then that caused trouble. So, I mean, it's just, you cannot win when these people, and I hate to say it, but the father of Spotted Owl was, the Spotted Owl came from Andy Kerr and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., National Resource Defense Council, NRDC. They were the people that got it started all those years ago. And I used to hunt with Andy Kerr's father and his uncle Keith, Vernon and Keith Kerr. And we'd drive by a deck of logs in the woods. And everybody in the car would go, "Oh, Andy ain't going to like that." Because they cut those trees down and made houses out of them. Now they don't do anything. Now the floor of the forests are covered with litter. Old dead trees are down. And when they get a fire, they can't put it out. But that's okay. Nobody was held accountable for that. Nobody said you can't do this anymore. We've got to start managing the forest like we manage a wheat field. But they destroyed an entire industry in the West that had good paying jobs. Gone. Little towns like Burns, Oregon that had a lumber mill. It's gone. I mean, all over, every town had a mill in it. And they had productive jobs. Gone. All based on myth, misinformation, and we're going to save the world. Well, no, they're not saving the world. Nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Did you
catch? Nobody got a butt chewing for any of these stupid ideas.
Did you catch Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on my TV program this week?
I did not.
Well, I'll have to send you a link so you can see what Bobby's up to now.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for him running. I don't think anybody that's going to vote for Trump's going to suddenly get an urge to vote for him. I think he'll put Biden in the bridle first. So, yeah.
I don't know what the logic is behind that, to be honest with you, but I do know this. The clock says we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more. One segment, Rural Route, Hank Vogler, after this. And Greg Hager continues to light up your life, pun intended, particularly from a spiritual standpoint. If you listen to Greg Hager's songs, State of Mind, Cowboy Way, Ain't God Great, those songs will bring you back to what really matters in life. It's his country and Christian roots that keep this nation in boots. And folks, I think it's high time we focus on the things that are real instead of this artificial world that we have created around us. More details about getting Greg to come to your event. Greg and Andrew, we'd love to come to your event. Maybe what their tour schedule currently is, or better yet, just go get an album, put it in, and listen. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. GregHager.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Hank Vogler, and I. We're still here until artificial intelligence replaces us. I was in Cherry County, Nebraska Friday night. We had a fantastic forum for county commissioners, three individuals running for one seat, and we had a school board forum, six were present running for three seats. And it, we got in this room, which is at Midland College, and I'm sure these are all great things, Hank, but you know, I got all the old school camera and stuff because I streamed it. You can watch this on my Rumble or Twitter. But anyway, the school was pretty proud that they had this room set up with AI. And they had these four, kind of looked like a flower pot at some level, with a little bulb on top. And what that was a speaker or a microphone and a camera with artificial intelligence. So they literally have events in this thing where nobody runs a camera, nobody runs the microphone, monitor the sound level or anything else. These cameras automatically keep track of who's talking and then just go focus the camera and send the audio directional towards where the sound's coming from. I chose not to use that. I'm sure there's a day coming where I won't have a choice, but I always have a choice. That's the world that we're moving into.
Well, I'm not going to necessarily defend artificial intelligence, but I did read an article that the barristers, the law firms in the United States are going to have a great deal of attrition, because if you want to type in something to check on some laws, you can do it and have it typed out in seconds rather than having all the research, so you will need fewer people. So maybe there will be people that will start discounting the use of the law. I know that I've spent quite a bit of money trying to defend myself against the largesse of the federales, and a lot of that could have been done just with artificial intelligence, if you know how to access those law books. And I think it's available now. So to me, there will be things like that that will be a benefit. But if you have nefarious people programming these different things, which we found out on some of the websites that they've already done that, it's pretty scary. It's very scary.
I got a friend who tells me that there is artificial intelligence in a software program that will take your and my conversation here today, any day, and break it up into 1.5 to 2 minute sound bites, so that you can just put the sound bites out there. So it could be that I would be using artificial intelligence to bring Hank Vogler wit and wisdom to the world 2 minutes at a time.
And or if you chopped it up just right, could you completely change the narrative?
Yeah. Oh, that would actually be fun. I should do that. Get people all scratching their head on, what's wrong with Hank?
Yeah. Well, you're on to something. Yeah, I mean, you could, if you do it just right. I mean, harken back to that January 6th deal. There was an awful lot of people there, and I guess the recordings I heard of what Mr. Trump said was quite different than what happened. Now, who actually broke into the Capitol? I go back to the 60s when there was the riot du jour in Washington, D.C. Thousands and thousands of people showed up there to screaming and yelling, breaking stuff and raising cane, and now they're in charge of the government. But walk over to the Capitol peacefully and make your voice heard. Now, yeah, it got out of hand. There's no question about it. But that'd be no different than a cop on the corner saying, okay, you folks, let's move along. Head that way. If you want to go see the Capitol, it's over there. And then if somebody that had other ideas than that did, well, you can cause a lot of damage anytime.
but they rioted. They had riots back when in the First World War. They shot those people. The veterans of the First World War were not getting their benefits, and they went to the Capitol, and they raised Cain, and they shot them. Been riots there a lot of times.
But they eventually got what was due to them.
Yeah.
Those who lived.
Yeah, that's the change in everything. You know, when it gets to the point, and it has, it's had in everywhere in the world more than once, people finally get a gutful of it. And it's the people on the bottom. You know, the people on the top, why, they're living large. But when the peasants, and they don't always follow the right thing, the peasants is what Stalin and Lenin and Trotsky got all stirred up to save themselves from the bourgeois, the czars. It didn't turn out good for a long time, but then that fell apart too. And now it's a criminal bunch of guys running the place because everybody's disarmed. I mean, yeah, there is evolution all the time.
So let's just go back to that. And there's a name for that, where the World War One veterans were marching. What was that called? I can't come up with it right now, but I will. So literally, in case you don't know, the government promised pensions and promised pay to World War One veterans that didn't come. And then in the mid-20s, when things were supposedly roaring, as history tells us, but not really, these veterans went to D.C. in March and said, "You're not giving us what was due." And like you said, they shot them, and they treated them absolutely horrific.
Yep.
And yet, on December the 8th, 1941, there was a whole group of men, mostly men, in 41, who said, "Hey, I'm going to go fight for the U.S. of A."
Yep.
No matter how many times the elected officials and the bureaucrats who turn on the citizens of this country, the citizens still say, "We believe in this country," despite you trying to minimize our impact to it and rise for the love of country and God. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure that some bureaucrats don't realize that and are willing to
use it
against the peasants. And that's what we've become, the deplorables. I mean, Hillary said it perfectly. We are the deplorables. And Obama with the clinging to our guns and Bibles, you know, mocking the fact that there are people out there, you know, the rich man's war and the poor man's fight. I've heard that since I was a little kid. Just all these things. There's no other place on earth that has more freedom, but we are losing our freedom at a faster and faster pace because of complacency, education, all of the above. We just keep eroding the situation and putting more power. The government is growing. All the trillions of dollars that they're throwing on the fire, all the skyrocketing interest rates, everything like that, it's government spending to try and buy off all the people so they can remain in power and they can have their confabs and per diems and government jobs that pay more than private citizen jobs. I mean, just all of these things. It's control, control, control. Yeah. I hope we take it back.
Just remember that every single life is being impacted so that we can become net carbon zero because our emissions are out of control. And yet 1%, this is very well documented, nobody even argues it, 1% of the global population emits 70% of the emissions.
Yep. any kind of a thing to jump on. It was the environment for years. All of these different things are just, you know, to rally the troops. And then people get involved in it and they get absorbed by it and they think it's the truth when it's not at all. It's just
mailed bovine fecal matter. I'm going to forward to you. It's written in 2019 and it lists the biggest follies about the environment and the future that did not happen. And in the 70s, which you're the first one to tell us about this, the 70s, it was every single prediction was that the next ice age is coming, and by 2020, you will not be able to grow food anywhere because the entire world will be just completely obliterated with ice and snow and everything else. And by 1988, you'll find headlines, global warming is upon us. It'll never snow again.
Okay, yay! Whoop-dee-doo, let's get her done. I want to raise macadamia nuts and pineapple. You better
I just want to raise coffee. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, let's get after it. So, yeah, I mean, and there'll be another ice age. There's been several of them. I mean, all of this kind of stuff is cyclic, or whatever. I mean, it's just, it happens.
Cyclical but it would all, be the word you're looking for.
At the end of the day, it all boils down to population control.
Yeah.
And again, a Nebraska Republican has no resemblance to a Maine Republican. But the Democrats, for power, always vote.
47-0, Hank. Nebraska senators on Thursday vote for LB 262, which says that if I want to sell a dozen eggs or a jar of honey to my neighbor that was raised on my farm, I got to get permission from the state government. I got to have an inspection. I got to go through a certification training class, and I am not doing any of that. Come and arrest me.
Wow. You guys got to do some changes too, huh?
Every single control government is out of control.
Wow. But the ideas that are implanted in your brain are different in Nebraska than they are in Maine, yeah, or in Florida, no doubt, or in California. And then no unity. Maybe Trump isn't the best man, but if his coattails are long enough and the populations are angry enough, maybe we'll get some change. Because where we're headed now, we're not getting any change. We're getting more control and more control and more control. And we got to, from the grassroots up, we got to get it started. No more, no mas.
Stop looking to Washington, D.C. Show up at the White Pine County Commissioner meeting. That's where you're going to make a change. We have successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers to food consumers. For Hank Vogler, I'm Trent Lewis, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. And before I let you go, don't forget about healthy living requires nitric oxide supplementation. I take it every single day. I believe you would benefit as well. NO2U.com. NO2U.com. Put Trent as your coupon code. You pay no shipping.